Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
They're longtime friends.
Let me tell you something real quick about Dibs that I'm sure not everybody knows.
And first-time partners.
Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Now, these two homegrown Bay Area boys finally come together to take over sports talk.
Get the hell off of my doorstep.
Major League Baseball, you stink.
It's Willard and Dibs. On 95.7, The Game.
Look, everybody's been doing great here at 95.7, The Game, for some time now. This has been, you know, we're coming up on 3 years, just me personally. And it's been wonderful, and I expect many more years to come. But I do think that we've found something here. And I really think we should lean into it, people. Maybe the best 2 days of my career at 95.7 The Game have happened when Steiny sings.
Wow.
Why are we not doing more of this? Did you hear that? That's incredible. And then you remember the whole The Warrior King series when he started singing Phil Collins and it took over as the soundtrack of the Bay Area for an entire afternoon. Sun was shining. It was Friday afternoon and everybody felt good. People were arriving at Chase Center singing. To us, we started welcoming in more hosts. Everybody, take your turn impersonating Steiny as Phil Collins. He needs to sing more.
More often.
That was
no doubt.
Really good.
Yeah? He has his moments where, you know, he feels like he can let the hair down, so to speak. And
I couldn't believe he did that.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And good job, Granny. He timed that up nicely.
Perfect, really, as always.
His timing wasn't perfect. I had to kind of spice it up a little bit, but he did a good job.
It was pretty close. And he's freestyling a cappella. So I give him some credit. I give him a whole lot of credit. And I give Tom Brady credit, too, because we're going to play this in a second. And yes, when did that happen, by the way? Brady talking to Stephen A., like in real time, when was that? Do we know?
I'm not exactly sure. It was a live show of the Stephen A. Smith show from ESPN.
But, like, was it today?
I'll find out
was
exactly
it yesterday?
It was. I think it was recent.
Because I feel like Brady might be stealing from me. Like, that's literally what I said yesterday.
Right.
The Super Bowl hangover doesn't exist. I'm sorry. This is a quirky number that people have decided to grab onto. Well, you lose the Super Bowl, you automatically suck the next year.
Only once has a team gone back. So I don't know if it's a quirky number.
Well, that's
in
not
30
true.
Years.
That's not,
in the
okay.
last 30 years.
The Bills. Only,
yeah, well, that's more than 30 years ago.
Okay.
And that's, we had a guest yesterday who mentioned it, 30
Wait
years.
A minute.
In the last 30 years, only one team has lost the Super Bowl and gone back to the Super Bowl the next year.
Is that the Chiefs?
No, it's New England.
Didn't the Chiefs do it?
The Chiefs lost
to Tom Brady. Oh, then there was the year in between.
Correct.
There was
and
the Bengals and the Rams.
Exactly. So it is a little bit of a curious stat, but the thing that strikes me more is if you look at five-year runs, how many teams have been to their conference championship game 5 years in a row like the Niners have, and you can go back as far as you want to go back, and there aren't that many teams who have done what Kyle Shanahan and company have done. Five straight years, or, you know, 5 years, four times in 5 years, whatever the number is, and if they do it again this year, it'd be five times in 6 years. They've been to the Final Four. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, I just, you know, to me, like... In theory, what would be the difference between winning the game and losing the game with regard to how it affects the following year? What would be the difference?
One block.
Just vibes?
You know what I mean? One right guard going the correct way.
Right, but like the whole idea of like, well, but if you win it, then you can come back again the next year. Why? You,
right.
Same thing. You had to play deep into, you know.
Because that one play went your way or didn't go your way.
So that determines whether you're eligible to go the following year.
Right. It just seems a little arbitrary.
The whole thing, you know, and by the way, we should back up and let everybody hear what Tom Brady said. And then you get to weigh in on what you think. That's how this works. It's called sports radio. We do this every day. Willard and Dibbs. Hi. 888-957-9570. So check this out. Stephen A. is kind of rocking the whole Super Bowl hangover thing, and he's talking to a guy named Brady, and listen to where the conversation goes.
I think perspective will determine that ultimately when we look back. So in any team in the moment that I would say loses a Super Bowl, how many times have we lost Super Bowl and then the next year the team doesn't make the playoffs? That happens quite a bit. Yeah. You know why? Because every year you start back at the bottom with everybody else. Whether you win the Super Bowl, whether you finish in 32nd place, you start at the bottom of that mountain that you're trying to climb. And I think someone like the 49ers, for example, they run a great program. I think they have a very good ownership. They have a very good general manager. They have a good head coach. They have a very good quarterback. They have a very good defense and defensive coordinator who they've had. Mm-hmm. And I think those are great fundamentals of what you're looking for to build an organization, those positions.
Okay, so if someone's going to do it, you know, why not the 49ers? But I'll even, like, not even make it that much about the 49ers. Look through the history of the really good teams. I like the point you just made. If the 49ers, over the last 6 years, if their quarterback is healthy, and sometimes, even if he's not, where does the season end?
In the Final Four. Yeah.
Every time.
In late January.
Every time.
Every time. Yeah.
So
over, like, the last 5 years.
You
know,
you mentioned
sure.
that only one time did New England lose the Super Bowl and then go back the very next year, and that was in 2019, the 2019 Super Bowl, the 2018 season, when New England lost to Philadelphia, came back the following year and beat the Rams. But the year before they lost to Philadelphia, they beat the Atlanta Falcons in the Kyle Shanahan offensive coordinator game. 2 years before that, they beat the Seahawks. That's in the Marshawn Lynch, give me the ball game, didn't give them the ball. In other words, what was New England every year? You know, right there. Right there. They're right there every year. And some years you pop in, some years you don't, some years you win it, some years you don't.
There's 8 years in a row.
There's really only a handful of teams that are probably going to pop through and be in the Super Bowl this year. The Niners are one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And but they're probably not going to go.
Well, they're probably going to be in the playoffs, and they're probably going to be one of the last eight teams, and odds are they're going to be one of the last four teams. And if you have the NFC Championship game, and it's in Green Bay in the snow, or it's at home and you make a mistake, like you did against the Giants when you had two fumbles by your punt returner and you didn't go on from there, yeah, you might not make it any further. But you mentioned the Patriots, and I'm just looking from 2012 to 2018, they... Actually, 2011, they lost the Super Bowl, they lost the conference, they lost the conference, they won the bowl, they lost the conference, they won the bowl, they lost the bowl, they won the bowl, they lost the wild card game. So it was literally 8 straight years where they were one of the last four teams standing. And the Niners now are, what, 4 of the last 5 years? They've been
in the NFC title
that
game.
Team?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So...
And same with the Chiefs.
And with the same roster coming back. And you can, you know, talk about no Dre Greenlaw until halfway through, fine. And Hufanga, we don't know where he'll be, but he got hurt last year too. And the roster is mostly the same as it was last year. So why would they all of a sudden fall down to be 10-7 in a wild card team without injury?
Because vibes, Dib.
Yeah, yeah.
Vibes.
I get that.
Vibes with 1B, Dibs with 1B.
Brandon with 1B.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like we've fallen into a trap.
A little bit, yeah.
I think we fell into a trap. Everybody, all of us. Sure. I mean, I believe what I said a handful of minutes ago. I think the 49ers are a prop on social media this offseason. And that's not to say that there aren't things going on. There are things going on. It's like... We've all expressed some emotion about it. The Brandon Ayuk thing's a problem. It's a problem. Is it a Niner problem? Is it a Brandon problem? Is it both? It's probably some both. But I think Brandon has arrived at a spot, in my opinion, where he has become more difficult than most. I don't think this still needs to be going on. I don't think it will be going on in the same form much longer. It can't. We keep saying there's a game in 2 weeks. There is a game in 2 weeks again from today. There's a game 2 weeks from yesterday. There's a bunch of games 2 weeks from Sunday, and there's the game we really care about 2 weeks from Monday.
There's a game in 4 hours, but that game doesn't really matter as much, although we can get into that.
Sure.
Because, man, I hope you have your rosary beads for Brock Purdy, because he's going to play, and we all need to, like, say a silent prayer for him to be able to make it through warm-ups and actually be able to go out and play football.
This segment's going to bite you in the you-know-what if something happens.
Whatever.
This is going to bite you in the you-know-what.
I don't believe in that sort of, like, mystical karma.
No, I don't think it's karma. I just mean, like, I think it's fair to go into a preseason game, and when starters go out there, hold your breath.
Sure. You're nervous.
Hold your breath. Every year, something happens in August that changes the season.
Every time he steps off a curb to cross a street.
I mean, come on, man.
I light a candle.
You're playing football, and injuries are a hell of a lot more likely on the field than they are in the shower. But yes, they happen in both places.
Man.
But anyway, I do think that the 49ers have been used as a prop. I don't want to get political, but I've said this for a few years now about the city of San Francisco. It got used as a prop.
Place is a dump.
Well, and some people may have points about things where the city is struggling or more empty than it used to be. But, you know, you want to turn on the damn national news, and some people think there are tanks in the streets, and it's a war zone. And it's not, because it's being used as a prop. And the Niners are, too. Content creators know this. If you say Brock Purdy, everybody stops. What'd they say? Is he underrated? Is he overrated? Is he the best quarterback in the NFL? Is he 22nd on my latest Ringer rankings?
Steven Ruiz.
And you know his name, why?
Because his rankings are spot on.
Because he did this to Brock Purdy.
Yeah,
so
and he still does.
The only reason we even know his name.
Yep.
So the 49ers, for all kinds of reasons, name value, performance, the nature of push-pull, of a player that's Mr. Irrelevant.
The draftism plays into it all.
Thrown forward to potentially $60 million, and the name value of Kyle Shanahan and the pulsating fan base and all of that makes all of us a perfect mark. You can tweet anything you want, and we all go crazy. And it has led to all of us thinking stuff is worse than it is. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, the over-under for wins for the Niners, according to FanDuel, is 11.5. And if you want to bet the over, then you get a little bit of money your way. It's plus 126 juiced to the over. So, you know, in reality, the over-under is about 11.25 wins for the Niners. So if you put it at 11-6, that is still a pretty good team, and it's a pretty good year. The Chiefs are the only team with a higher over-under, and their over-under is also 11.5, according to FanDuel, but you have to pay a little bit of juice to get the over on the Chiefs. And other than that, it's the Eagles, the Ravens, the Lions, the Bills, the Bengals. Nobody else is in double digits. So you are one of seven teams that have a double-digit win total expectancy, yet you're right, Mark. All we do is talk about no Ayuk, no Trent. The vibes are bad. Is this the beginning of the end of Kyle and the Niners?
I think.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. I'm sorry if this is like an unpopular opinion. I think the Niners are fine.
Yeah, they could be.
I think they're fine.
If they get Trent and Brandon back, if they don't get Brandon back, well, Trent, I don't think they're fine.
Trent's coming back. Well, we can have that conversation in a few. Trent's going to be here. And I actually still would handicap it as Brandon being here, but the 49ers are fine. And you can see sort of the things that don't align right in front of you. You can't simultaneously, this is all over the country now. You listen to media, no one is predicting the 49ers to have a good year. And I mean that like with respect to expectations. Chris Sims today said they've got the fourth best roster in the NFC. Locke Confora comes on with us yesterday and predicts doom and gloom. It's very popular right now to say, I think the Niners are going to be worse than you think they are. Simultaneously, they remain the favorite.
Right, right.
So that's actually the marker of where money is going. So if you ask, like, that's a fun way to do it. Ask a media member. Fine, put your money where your mouth is. You really think the Lions roster is better than the 49ers? Go ahead. Position by position, tell me how. Tell me how. What, you got Penei Sewell? You got Hutch over there on the defensive line? Yeah, those are good players. You think Amon-Ra St. Brown's the best receiver between the Lions and Niners? Make your point. You're going to tell me Jahmyr Gibbs is better than Christian McCaffrey? GTFOH. Where, like, Trent Williams is on this team. Like, name a defender on the Lions. Well, get out of here. Get out of here. But, of course, that's not the way it works. All right. Super Bowl hangover. Is that a thing? Yes or no? And you and I should get into answering this question.
Okay.
And everybody can. 888-957-9570.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can the Niners win a Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk? Yes or no? Let's talk it out. Let's take your calls. It's Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, it's Willard and Dibs, and it's brought to you by Floor and Decor. We're on Twitch and YouTube. You can stare deep into the eyes of Dan Dibley, longingly. Twitch.tv/957TheGame, YouTube.com/957TheGame. And it's all brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. We'd love to take your calls, 888-957-9570. We'll do so in just a sec. I think the idea of a Super Bowl hangover is a complete concoction, total fiction. It's a figment of our imagination. And then there's this. And I think you and I see this differently. And I heard this start to pop yesterday. I think you and I will do our best to avoid, taking an axe to the whole Brandon Ayuk contract situation, because it's just been done too much. And I know Everybody's exhausted by it. But now we're sort of, I think, arriving at a spot where we can talk about it from a football sense, which is, are the 49ers a good team without him? I think the 49ers are still not just a Super Bowl contender. In fact, we know they remain the NFC Super Bowl favorite even without him. I hear people go, they're not going to win a Super Bowl without him. I don't know that at all. I absolutely think they can win the Super Bowl without him. I think they got a better shot with him. I'd like to have him on the team. But yes, I do think that they can win without him.
Yeah, and I don't think they can win without him. And, you know, the Super Bowl hangover, you could talk about it not being a real thing, and that's fine. It's probably not a real thing, but the history of it would indicate that it is a thing, that the Super Bowl loser doesn't really make it back very often. But you know what? The Super Bowl winner doesn't make it back very often either. So it's it's hard to play 20 games, whether you win that last game or not, and make it back to that game. It's not as easy. And you could look at teams that have gone back-to-back, New England in 04 and 05, and the Chiefs, we know most recently, they went back-to-back. But teams that even win the Super Bowl usually don't go back as well. So it's not so much as it's a Super Bowl hangover, therefore the Niners can't get there. I look at this team and what they try to do, and they play a two-receiver set a lot, which means you're relying on these two receivers. And yes, Juwan Jennings, third and Juwan, he comes in and he played one-third of the snaps last year. Ayuk played 75%, Debo played 66%. So these are your two guys. When you have two receivers, they're your two. And so if you take one of those guys out, and the guy who played more than any other receiver on your team, and you replace him with whomever, and this will be the last time I mention Ricky Pearsall's name until he actually plays, because the report out today that the shoulder is worse than we thought, and they knew that the shoulder was bad when they drafted him?
I don't know if it's worse than they thought. It's potentially a recurring issue, and they knew about it.
So that, for me, well, then maybe that's my opinion.
They're waiting for it.
It's worse than I thought.
Yeah, they're waiting for what's a worse situation than we thought. I'll buy that, yes.
Right, so he'll either start the year on IR or PUP.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know if we're there yet.
My prediction.
Okay.
My prediction.
Yeah, that's fair.
If he's not going to be healthy to play in week one, then you should probably put him on a list. That way you can keep someone else and you can play that other person. And Brandon Ayuk, if he is not on this team and you don't have Ricky Pearsall because he hasn't been able to play and Cowing has been slowly emerging, now you're looking at Chris Conley as your other receiver. It's Conley, Juwan, and Debo. And if you don't have Brandon Ayuk, and we're assuming that this conversation is for the whole year, then I don't think you're a Super Bowl team.
Okay. I mean, and this is one of those things where, and don't get mad at me now, this is just our emotions versus the flow of money. And again, for those of you, because I already see, for instance, 408 just hit us up. And thank you so much for texting the Xfinity Mobile text line. We love you engaging in the show. But he disagrees with me, or she. Willard, you're downplaying his ability way too much. You have a much, all caps, better shot with your premier downfield threat. Vegas disagrees. Forget me. Take me out of it. We already went to Vegas earlier this week and asked, and the Super Bowl odds go from 6-1 to 7-1. So I'm not downplaying it.
Yeah, that's just Vegas.
Yes, but that's a metric that to me matters. That's people's money now. That's them thinking, how does this actually affect dollars and cents? What are the actual odds? Does that mean that's an ink? No, but that is a reflection. I love to do that for this reason. Our emotions are involved when it's the Niners. Vegas is unemotional. Totally unemotional. Vegas is grabbing people's bank accounts all across the world. And that means the world thinks that without Brandon Ayuk, the 49ers remain the NFC favorite. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting, but I also do think that it's a reflection of the fact that it's the Niners, and the money will come in on the Niners. They're the team that they're looking to defend the NFC Championship, so you're going to set them as the favorite in many ways because you want to protect yourself odds-wise because the roster still is good. The quarterback is back, top five in the MVP. The running back is back, top five in the MVP. Everybody's back, and if you lose the one receiver, well, you're still a very good team. And are you still the best team? Maybe, maybe not, but from an odds maker standpoint, you have to protect yourself knowing that if you put them at 12-1, the money's going to fly in, and then you become vulnerable to a big loss.
Sure, I get that. By the same token, I'm not sitting here telling you that they're a better team without Brandon Ayuk. I just don't think they're a sucky team without Brandon Ayuk. And it feels to me, I heard conversation between a couple media members I really like and respect, and they did the all caps, no way, no how, no chance that the Niners can do the Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk. Now, you guys love to talk about history. Well, history says that the Super Bowl loser has a hard time the following year. Guess what history says? History in the NFL says your wide receivers are flipping replaceable. Really replaceable. Like really, really replaceable. And in fact, history says if you want to rock through the entire history of the league, tell me in the last 20 to 30 years when somebody went on some sort of a Super Bowl heater because of their wide receivers. Go through the list of all these dudes that are getting paid. How many playoff games have they won? Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, C.D. Lamb. What are we getting for this?
Well, Tyreek's got a bowl, so.
Yes. Yes, not since he made $30 million.
Sure, exactly.
Like, since we decided to start breaking the damn bank for wide receivers, what do we have for it? Who's gotten something out of this?
Yeah, Philly's gotten to the Super Bowl.
Yes, although they hadn't paid those guys yet.
They hadn't paid Devontae yet.
No, Devontae was, was he a rookie or was he, I don't even know if he was on the team yet. Yeah, like, Isn't that a fair question for the Niners to
ask? It's fair, but why would you be at this point in this saga if you thought that? That's my question.
Because
like, you would have been done with it. If you really thought that, you would have said, dude, fifth year option, or you would have traded him.
Well, I'm not saying that there's anything to say I thought that, which is I don't think wide receivers are pointless. They're obviously very important. But if we're talking about, it's just like going to the store. Do I love tortilla chips? Yes. If they're $14.95, do I want that bag? I want the tortilla chips.
Yeah.
They make my house better. The tortilla chips are in there, but for
people are happy when you get tortilla chips. Yeah.
Right. They make a party. What are we doing with our salsa and our cheese and our beans if we got no chips? But for $14.95, like, could I still have a party without them?
You Maybe? Could make your own tortillas and break them apart.
Could we get corn chips instead?
Yeah.
Those are only $4.95.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying. Where's the bang for the buck? By breaking off the $28+ million wide receiver contract.
Well, if that is the way they're thinking, then what the hell are you doing? If that's the way they're thinking, and I don't think that that's what their mindset is, but you wouldn't have gotten into late August and had this thing still drag out, because if you thought, you know what, you're replaceable, and you know we drafted Ricky Pearsall, and we know he's got a bad shoulder, and it's recurring, but you know what, darn it, he'll be good at some point, and we don't really need you, Brandon, then they would have traded him back in April or May, June, July, or August, and yet here we are still talking about Brandon Ayuk, and this thing still drags on because he's more important than just a tortilla chip.
Yes, yes. And so when you say if they really thought that, again, I think they think he's important, but you do have to... You have to look at every situation and go, okay, but how important?
Right.
Are we going there? And I'm simply pointing out that I do think that there is an inequity in the market. I think wide receivers have been inflated for a number of reasons. They're very popular. They make things go in fantasy football. They're flashy.
Totally.
They're marketable, right? They're good looking. They've got a lot of personality, whatever. And I'm not saying teams are just paying for that. I do think that they're very important to winning football games. But they're not, and this is objective now, they're not one of the three or four most important positions on the field. And you won't find a coach to tell you different. They're not.
But they're paid like it.
Exactly, which is what I'm pointing out. There is an inequity in the wide receiver market. That I do believe. I don't think they're unimportant. I do think they're overpaid. Yes.
Well, then why are the Niners engaging in this this game of chicken? Because, you know, they've got a guy already who's making 24 and change, and so you have another guy who's asking for 29 or 30, and you're still, you know, coming up, and you're coming up, and you're coming up, and now you're in a spot where you feel like you kind of have to do something with him.
I think that Kyle answered this a few weeks ago. Do you remember that press conference where he was kind of like, I don't look at it, you know, and maybe this is with TK. Remember when he was like, this is what they cost? Yeah, I think he was talking about the quarterback. I don't look at it as a quarter of our salary cap. I look at it as, okay, this is what they cost. We can do this with a lot of products in our society right now. Go back to COVID and think about toilet paper, for goodness sakes.
Or just gasoline.
That's
what gas costs.
Right. You do need wide receivers, and this is what good ones cost. But I can also sit here and point out, it shouldn't cost that. I think that is out of whack.
Right.
Like gas for $5.50 a gallon. That's out of whack.
Yeah, but what are you going to do with your car?
You're
going to drive your car?
You're going to go somewhere.
Exactly.
Although there is a price where people would go, you know what, I'm going to go get a hybrid, or I'm going to go do electric.
Right.
Or I'm going to do public transportation. I'm going to take the ferry. Like, there is a price where you go, I'm out. And maybe this is it.
Well, if it's it, then they should have gotten to that point a long time ago, as opposed to August 23rd, when we're still talking about whether or not they want to buy gas for their car. Because if they don't have Brandon Ayuk, you can put in whoever you want, Pearsall, Cowing, Taylor, Conley, whoever you want to put in there. That team is not good enough to be a Super Bowl team, and you can you know, put aside Super Bowl hangover if you want. I do think that that's part of it, where you go to the Super Bowl and it's hard to get back. And Tom Brady said that in the cut you played. You know, you got to start back at 0-0. And the teams that haven't made it to where you've made it, they're going to be hungrier than you are. And it's going to be harder for you playing on a first place schedule to get back to where you were last year.
Just for fun, I'm looking at this right now. Top paid wide receivers in the game. Top paid wide receivers in the game. Just for fun, maybe this is unfair, but watch this. Watch this now. Justin, this is in order. AAV. Justin Jefferson, AJ Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Adams, DJ Moore, Cooper Kupp, Devontae Smith, Nico Collins, DK Metcalf, Debo Samuel, Michael Pittman Jr., Terry McLaurin, Calvin Ridley, Stephon Diggs, T. Higgins, Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Chris Godwin, Deontay Johnson, Christian Kirk. I've run out of room on my page. Quick run through my mind. I think there's two Super Bowl rings on that entire list, and one of them happened before the guy got paid.
Sure, Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill and Cooper Kupp.
Yep.
Or was Cooper Kupp not even... He was on that team, right?
For sure.
Right? When they beat, and had he been paid yet?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So if you take away the fact that they hadn't been paid yet, there ain't a damn one of them.
Yeah.
That's one a ring. Meanwhile, Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Mecole Hardman and...
Rashee Rice.
Rashee Rice.
Sure.
And, well, actually, hold on a second. I'd have to look at the timing of, Godwin and Mike Evans. They win with Tom Brady a few years ago.
Evans probably was paid
Evans
by then.
Evans had, but Godwin, I don't think so. Yep. All right. You know, go back to when Nick Foles won that Super Bowl with the Eagles. Who are their receivers?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Is this a quiz? I don't hear the music.
Grandy
knows.
Connor and San Leandro. Grandy found that Kyle Shanahan clip. I'll play it for you in just a sec.
Okay.
Let's go to Connor, though, in San Leandro. Hi, Connor. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm just enjoying fake fall, where the Bay Area weather tries to fool you into thinking summer's over.
Yeah, this was a weird one today. It's actually still kind of warm out.
Yeah, you're totally right about that. I wanted to weigh in on the Super Bowl hangover. I think what's unique about the 49ers is they already had one. And so just like in real life, you can avoid a hangover. So I wouldn't be surprised if we put a clinic on in how to avoid a Super Bowl hangover, right? What do? You prepare well and you take care of your health. So let's look at preparation here. Number one, what no one is really talking about is we drafted an offensive lineman. We have a starting right guard that we didn't have last time. I'm excited about that. Number two, we got rid of our defensive coordinator, who rather than getting pressure with the front four and taking advantage of how high we pay Bosa, specialized in weird blitzes, zero blitzes at inopportune times. You know, I'm really looking forward to seeing the way that we've prepared to take on this year. And I think the other thing is you take care of your health. And how do you do that? Well, I think in the first instance, you got to avoid playing on the worst AstroTurf fields, you know, in the league. And that's actually what happened in 2020. I think we're going to be able to avoid that. But most importantly, in taking care of your health, you got to pace yourself. And so I think in 2020, all I heard was this really weird, like we haven't been here before kind of, oh, revenge tour, revenge tour, revenge tour. And I think that we were pressing. And I think instead, if you just listen to the way that Kittle's talking now, as opposed to how he was talking back then, we're going to take our time and we're going to embody and exemplify that Tom Brady quote that you guys broadcasted today. We are at the bottom of the mountain. We're going to take it week by week. We're not going to take anything for granted. And that's why I think the Niners are not going to have a second Super Bowl hangover like they had a few years ago. Thanks, guys.
Connor, good luck. Your optimism is infectious, but that's not the way that it's going to sound week to week. I think people are going to be freaking out in a constant, constant way. Like the Niners, if they lose, it's freak out. If they win, did they win by enough? Was it pretty? I mean, hell, we did that at times last year.
A little bit,
and that's part of being a great team.
And if you win, it's going to be, you know, how close are you to the playoffs when things really matter? Because the expectation right now for Niner fans is the playoffs. And really the expectation is the conference championship game. And I'm not saying it's Super Bowl or bust, but from a fan standpoint, You want to be one of the last four teams standing for sure. And you want that game here at Levi's again. And if you have that game here at Levi's, you expect to win. And if you win that game, then go win the damn Super Bowl. So the expectation, the bar is really high. And you're right. If you go out there and you beat the Jets in week one, it'll be, okay, cool. It was an opener. You were at home. You were favored. You're going to be favored in every game. So if you don't win every game, and I know you probably won't win every game, but the games you don't win, people are going to freak out.
888-957-9570. I think Marvin disagrees with me. He's in Livermore. Hi, Marvin. What's good?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, by your logic, and no quarterback besides number 15 should be getting 50, 60 million. Because if Niners don't win it this year, Brock Purdy's going to get 50 or 60 million, right? And everybody's making more than Mahomes. So look at all of the ones who signed. Not one of them have a Super Bowl ring.
That's a fair response.
By your logic?
It's a fair response, except for I would always argue, first of all, two things. With quarterbacks, there's only one of them on the team. And I always find quarterbacks to be a completely different animal than anything else. But it's a fair response. And I'd add, Marvin, I tried to say this a couple of times. I'm not saying wide receivers don't matter. I'm simply saying they're overpaid. It is a little weird to me that they're being paid right now as potentially the second highest paid position on the field when every NFL coach would tell you a left tackle is more important, a pass rusher is more important, and probably a top-level corner is more important than a wide receiver if you gave them the option of where to have a great player. That's all I'm saying, Marvin.
I think the value in the wide receiver is because the game has changed to wide open, and you need guys who can get wide open on the field and also catch contested balls. So they're getting paid, but there's a top level wide receiver, and then there's everybody else. And I would agree with you, everybody else shouldn't get paid, but based on what Ayuk does in the Niners offense, because not all wide receivers can play in this offense. They have to be able to block. He blocks at a high level, and he catches a lot of balls without a lot of targets. And so I think he's a little different. He shouldn't be the top-paid wide receiver, but he should be getting more than $26 million.
Yeah, and actually, Marvin, the Niners agree with you on that. If you believe the reports, I'll buy what you're saying there. I think Brandon is perfect for this offense. But why are we talking about $30 million? What are we doing?
That's the market.
No, it's not.
Well, the market's gone crazy.
But it's not.
But it's
not.
The market for a guy who is second in the league in yards per target and a guy who blocks as well. So, again, I don't want to get into the numbers part of this because reportedly the Niners have come up to $29 million. And if that's true.
Some say 30.
Right, and he still wants 30 and they're at 29. Then the Niners have bought in. They've drank the Kool-Aid is what they've done because they realize how important he is and they're willing to come all the way up from where they were in late August because they know how important he is.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, we referenced this the other day. Greg Cosell was the one who said it, where he's like, do you look at the tape? Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers are a perfect marriage. What the Niners do calls for what Brandon does, and what Brandon does really fits what the Niners do. So that's where we ended up on that Draymond conversation the other day,
right,
which is like, well, now what do you do? Because if Brandon wants 30 from the Niners, us fans are like, well, he's worth it because we see what Brandon does. But Brandon is arguing in a room, well, this is the wide receiver market. And the Niners can look at him and go, well, if that's the wide receiver market, why would you be the second highest paid wide receiver in the game? What are you talking about?
Because he blocks.
But you're not the second best wide receiver in the game.
Well, he is for them.
Well, no, he's the only wide. I mean, he and Debo,
right.
That's why it gets difficult. But nobody.
His value to them is greater than the value of Jalen Waddle to Miami,
for
example.
So how do you quantify that? Because even 26 would make him the highest paid wide receiver on the Niners.
Right. Well, he would argue that he is probably the second most important wide receiver in football, or maybe the most important.
Ugh.
He's on a winning team, he blocks, and he does things that no one else in their team does, and you're a winning team.
Yeah, except for like,
him.
But easily, even your NFC contenders would say the Eagles base more of their offense on A.J. Brown than the Niners do on Brandon. The Lions base more of their offense on Amon-Ra St. Brown than the Niners do on Brandon. The Cowboys base way more of their offense on CeeDee Lamb than the Niners do on Brandon.
But those teams are bums. We're the NFC champs. We're the NFC champs because of what Brandon does.
Amon-Ra had a 24-7 lead in your building at halftime. I mean, they're at least there. They're there.
He's a good little player.
Yeah, he's a great player.
Amon-Ra, you know, got a little banged up last year.
He was out in the dock. Brandon, were you on Netflix?
He was in the background on Netflix.
Did Netflix call you?
They did not call him.
They didn't call you, did they?
Nope. They said they don't want me.
I saw them call two of your teammates, though.
Right. Right.
Interesting. Yeah,
good luck without me. You saw what Brock did in the second preseason game without him.
And anyone else.
Well,
I mean,
without him.
Tonight, we'll see him with the Netflix boys, but not Brandon.
Theoretically.
Yeah, theoretically. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Okay, Kyle Shanahan talked about this. Yes, it was a month ago. Almost to the day. No, 2 months ago. Almost to the day. On the TK Show. We'll play that for you next. We'll keep taking your calls. 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibbs.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.